I'm going to be away. I got one ready. You know, he's always got one ready. I do have some instruction for you, though, brother. Be careful about going to funerals. The corpse may not show up. Good to have you at church this morning. That was a joke, by the way, in case you didn't pick up on it. It is good to have you at church. It is good to celebrate with you Memorial Day. I was sitting in my office this week and doing some reference work. By the way, I had a great-grandpa, Truman Bishop Smith III, who served in Indiana Cavalry in the Civil War. If you're a Southerner, you will not appreciate this. He was with Sherman as they went through the South. I don't know about any wars since, but I do know this, that in every war, there's been one in my lineage, or I'm in their lineage, who has served this country and its armed forces. My eldest brother in the Navy in World War II and the Korean War, Vietnam. They just had to kick him out. He got too old. Our second son, who retired after 20 plus years in the United States Navy. In several wars. Now, I've said all that. I did not go. I was into that slot when the Korean War was over, and I was a college student preparing for the ministry, and they gave me a classification that did not call me up. But I'm proud of America. And I don't know about you, but I get disturbed. Every once in a while, I'll see someone when we are singing the national anthem who does not take off their hat. They do not place their hand on their heart. They show no appreciation. And folks, I'm just patriotic enough that I've walked up to them and said, you know, it'd be really nice if you'd take off that hat while we're honoring this great country, because it is a great, great country. And we are honoring those men and women who have given the ultimate sacrifice, their lives. This thing of Memorial Day began in about 1867, maybe 68, when the Federals, the Union side, over in Decatur, Illinois, established a day of, you remember what it's called? Declaration. A little side note in that, Peggy and I went south and was in the Ozarks, and a little church up the hollow called me as pastor. And we went up there on a Saturday, because we always went on Saturday to visit when we could, and most every Saturday we did. And we went up there on Saturday to visit, and here the cemetery across the street was just full of people. And I've been scratching my head wondering, what in the world are we going to do with this cemetery? It's growing up. They manicured that thing that day. They were still celebrating Declaration Day. Yesterday, we were somewhere. We were somewhere, and oh, we went to Marion. And there's a large cemetery about 4 or 5 miles this side of Marion and on Highway 9. And I said to Peggy Loring, gosh, look at all the people attending that funeral. The cars were just pouring in there. And we spent a pleasant couple of, well, she had a couple of hours pleasantry. I endured. And then we came home. And now they're out declarating. So that thing of declaration still exists. But a few years later, in the 1870s, the Confederate side decided that they too would declare a Declaration Day in memory, and it was in memory of the men and women, I guess, sir. Yes, they did, in a civil capacity. The men and women who died in the Civil War on their side. And they put it on a different date. And then, got it down here somewhere. Here we are, okay. Then in 1882, they were brought together for one celebration when the Federals agreed that we could say, or that they would say, all of those, both sides. By the way, folks, that by historians is looked upon as a time when this nation began to heal. Abraham Lincoln had been killed. A lot had gone on. And they began to realize it is time to put foolishness aside. And so the day was established. And then in 1967, our president declared it to be a national holiday. And thus today, we celebrate in memory of, and I've always scratched my head about celebrating in memory of someone giving their life, but that's what we call it, Memorial Day. If you would, please, turn in the book of Psalms, chapter 33. You should see that, have seen that up there already, and you'll notice right under the heading, hey, and thank you. I've been struggling with trying to get this up here and see what you're seeing, you know, at the same time. And it helps. It's helpful for me. The key verse is verse 12. Would you stand? I just want you to stay awake. No, really. We need to honor the Word of God. Amen? Would you stand? And since I will in this sermon be referring to verse by verse as we go through this entire chapter, or almost the entirety of the chapter, we're going to look at the key verse, verse 12. Look with me, please. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Father, it is our prayer that we indeed will once again be looked upon by because of our actions, because of our devotion as a Christian nation. Thank you, Father, that you established us on the principles of the Word of God. May we come back to that establishment. Thank you, Father, that there were those. I pray there still will be those who will be devoted and dedicated enough that they're willing to place their life in jeopardy for the safety of many and for the safety of this great country. Help us. May the Holy Spirit give guidance as we look at your word today. We pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. And thus we come today to honor those who served our country. And listen, they are due. They are worthy. In any capacity, listen, any capacity that you can serve someone else is a worthy capacity. And you are deserving of the honor that belongs to those who serve. One of the greatest of gifts and one of the greatest of gifts honored in the Word of God, and I'm talking about not spiritual gifts, is that of servitude. Never forget, the real blessing is in service. Our Lord said, anyone who gives a cup of cold water, and I want a stick, and perhaps there's an old copy of the King James that might put it in there already. Just a cup of cold water. That's all it takes. In my name, I'm going to bless them. So the more you can do than a cup of cold water, the more the blessings will flow. Hear me? Hear me? Say amen. I just want you to know you're know. I just want to know you're with me. Okay. Now, so heroes are to be honored. And there is one who has so excelled and so outshined all of the great heroes. And I have a whole list of here, these I know as heroes. Mr. Newsom, Colonel Newsom, who died in World War II, from my home country, home county, hometown, home community. Great hero. I had the privilege back in about 1953 or 54 of visiting Sergeant Alvin C. York on York Mountain in Tennessee. Now, if you don't know about Alvin C. York, go to the library and check out his biography. A man single-handedly captured over 500 Germans in World War I. And I met him and had the privilege of conversing with him. I've always had an interest in history, and so I asked him to tell me about it. Hang on. And we sat there on his front porch, on that log cabin on York Mountain. And he said, well, it's simple. They were hungry. The first opportunity they had, they laid down their rifles and come running out with their hands up, saying, we surrender, we surrender. Because they were hungry. Well, I think it really amounted to more than that, but he was a great, it still is referred to as a great hero. But listen, there's one that outshines that. And you've heard the stories of great heroes in the war. Men who would throw their bodies on a hand grenade and save the others. And they're worthy of honor. But there's one still more worthy. Let's look now at the worthiness of Jesus. We sing, thank you for singing the Statue of Liberty. I am proud to be an American. Amen? I am proud. But listen, I want to tell you, I am far more proud of being called a Christian. And my blood sort of got riled up when a certain person in a high place of honor in the United States said, we are not a Christian nation. Well, if that was true in his mind, he should have been on his knees before Almighty God praying, we would become a Christian nation. Well, I'll cool down. Peggy sort of get red in the face and she gets worried. Okay. Look at verse 1 through 3. Praise of these and that Jesus, hero, is our position. Look again, verse 30, chapter 33. It moved. No, there it is. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Got it? Now, I don't know about you, but I consider us the upright. I really believe we're right with God. Now, if not, let me tell you, we will have an opportunity and present it to you at the end of this service that you can come down this altar and be upright. Get upright. Get right with God. He just waits. He's long-suffering. Not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Praise is our position. Praise for righteousness. Say what? See that point? Praise for righteousness. Point A. Let me run a little test. All right, class, are you ready for an oral test? On a scale of 1 to 10, how righteous are you? Somebody going to volunteer? 10. Good. Somebody's really set the goal up there. Okay. Anybody less than 10? And by the way, I want you to know that is exactly the right answer. For we do not account, we do not use, we do not hold to our own righteousness, because I want to tell you, your righteousness on your own is as filthy rags in the sight of God. But God sees us in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. How righteous is He? 10, come on, class. 10. You're failing the test, I'm going to give you an F. So, for His righteousness delivered to me, accounted to me in the presence of my Heavenly Father, as He looks, He sees me through Christ Jesus and the righteousness of Jesus, and I'm a 10. Hallelujah, I'm a 10. Now, if you're not, here again at the end of the service, by the way, you know, if I were you and dead serious about this stuff, I'd rush on down here now, because we may not get to the end of this service. Okay. Praise is our position. Praise for His Word. Look at verse 4. I need to put my finger on this chapter. Okay, here we are. For the Word of the Lord is right, and His works is done in truth. Folks, this is God's Word. Now, you may have a different position if you like. It's all right to be wrong every once in a while. But this is Holy Spirit inspired. Men of God, holy men of God, spoke as God gave them words to speak. And it is thus recorded in all of the attempts through time that have come down to destroy the Word of God have literally failed, and this today remains a number one bestseller in the world. We praise God for His Word, don't you? Well, I want to tell you something. You may not be like me. You may not be ignorant as I am. You may not be as hard-headed as I am. You may not be as confused. I could go on with that story a long way. But listen to me. Anytime I run into a brick wall, which is quite often, anytime I have a question I cannot answer, I go to the Word of God, and you know it's almost automatic. Connie, I've been there before. I won't go over there. I could just about just open the Bible, and there it is. There's an answer. By the way, you don't want me to go over there, do you? You all should have shouted out amen. He isn't going over there, because that'll about blow our eardrums out. Okay. So we praise in our position for His Word. And by the way, look at verse 5. We'll just go on quickly now. In verse 5, He loves righteousness and justice. And we praise God for the justice that exists in this world. I want to tell you something. If it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for Christ overseeing His creation, Satan would tear this earth literally apart. I believe that. But the almighty hand of God, and by the way, He disputes justice. Not because I've done good. Not because everything I do is perfect. Far, far from that. He dispenses justice because He loves me. He loves you too. Isn't that wonderful? An almighty God, holy, righteous, everlasting God who created everything that is made, and without Him not anything is made that is made, or has been made, or will be made, or going to get made. Listen, that's Jesus. And His righteousness is mine. So we have all the positions of the world to honor our great, great, great hero, Jesus, in praise. By the way, let's move on now. And preservation for His purposes are ours. Look at verse 6. By the way, that this whole section here is 6 through 19. But look at verse 6 and 7 with me. By the word of the Lord... Whose mouth spoke it? The Lord's mouth spoke it. By the word of the Lord. Watch it. I'll get back to where I'm supposed to be here. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the seas together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. I want to tell you something. This Jesus is a wonderful, wonderful hero. I wish you could get the fever of this, folks. Listen, he's marvelous. It's unbelievable. This Jesus. Can you picture this? One day. You know, God's always been. And one day, standing on nothing. Ooh, I like this. Standing on absolutely nothing. Jesus looked out into space and said, you know what? We ought to have a big bang. Boom! It didn't happen like the book says. I'm talking about the textbook now. God spoke. And the heavens and the earth came into existence. You know why? Because God wanted it to. You know how? Because God did it. You know what shape it has? The shape that God wanted it to have. And he began to speak. Rivers and oceans and seas and mountains and plains and trees and grass. He began to speak. He got down to lilies and roses, red roses. She's still waiting. One of our sons always sends her a dozen red roses. You see, the rascal locks my hands. Oh, how I would, you listening, how I'd love to give her red roses. But, you know, here we're waiting on old Ken. By the way, I better be careful. I'm about to take care of somebody's red roses down there. God made it. Jesus spoke it. His creation, not yours. We're doing everything we can to destroy it. And while men sit around and argue about global warming and all of that, we're letting off atomic energy that does not belong exploded in our space. But we'll go on. We praise him. And our position is to preserve his creation. Amen? Amen? Now watch what you throw out the car window. Watch what you dump out of the boat into the lake. Oh, preacher, you're dealing with trifles. I am, for a fact. Watch what you send to the garbage dump. Well, not me. Oh, half a gallon of paint. Now, I move right along. I can see the pleasant look on all of your faces. Okay, and his purpose, he is the judge. Look at verses 8 through 11. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast, stood in order, really is what that says. By the way, I looked, anybody know what degree is this? Is it 8? The degree of the axis of the earth? You know, we're tilted. That's no surprise. Most of us inherited that from her too. Now, anyway, I'm just not getting with you folks for some reason. Did you all stay up late last night, or are you thinking about the watermelon you're going to eat for Memorial Day? But you see, the earth got like this because God said, that's just right. That's just right. As it turns, that's just right. And that's why a question, folks. Hold on to that. That's why. That's where we're at. That's why, okay? Do you know why polar bears don't eat seals? Polar bears don't eat seals. Did you know that? Would you like to know? Yeah, okay. Polar bears are on the North Pole. Seals are on the South Pole. Well, you pay more attention to that and you have a whole blooming sermon. You want to hear? No. That's why we're at whatever degree that is in our axis of the earth. Because God made it that way. It was judged by Him. And by the way, let me tell you, God has a plan for the planet Earth. You want to know what it is? Thank you for asking. One day, folks, this air that we breathe will just melt away according to the word that we cherish. And this earth will be burned up. And there will be a new earth and even a new heaven. Now that heaven, by the way, don't get excited. That's not the pearly gates. It's still going to be around. That heaven is the atmosphere. There'll be a new atmosphere. There'll be a new earth. For the old atmosphere and the old earth. Now, I don't know. I have not found anybody that wants to talk very much about this in their commentaries or anything else. But let me tell you, I don't know whether our solar system and all the planets, and you know, they're finding some new ones further away than Plato or Pluto or whatever you call him. They're finding new ones. I don't know if those are going to melt away too. But I know God's plan for this earth is to make a brand new one. And, hang on, hallelujah, this is in God's judgment. He will bring right out of, he don't have to have anything. Or he does not have to have any place, right? I mean, Jesus, remember, he stood on nothing and spoke. And so if he wants to stand on some more nothing and speak again and say, I want a capital city, I want a new heaven, and I want it to go right down to this new earth, out of God's throne. Are you getting excited? You know, I get tickled. I went to a funeral the other day, and the preacher was a little bit sad in his preaching, but the people were extremely distraught. Oh, listen, if I fall dead in this pulpit or any other place, don't you go moaning and a groaning and a weeping and a wailing by my casket. Because I look down to you from heaven and say, what in the world? Folks, listen to me. We need to get real about this. I have lived over 65 years for the joy and the assurance I'm going to heaven when I die. Now, if that's not your plan, you either better change your plan or get ready for it. I had a lady last night, tell me, you had heard her. She was telling me, well, if I've been, she said, this is what she said. I've been baptized 3 times. If that don't get me there, I'm just going to the other place. Bye. Let me tell you something. Baptism don't save you. Our big, great, big, our almighty hero saves you. Right? You don't cry out to baptism. You cry out to Jesus, Lord. Save me. I'm moving on real quick. The last point. Well, he's a judge and he's a keeper. He keeps us. Everything you are going to be, it's up to him. And then, profession of trust is our privilege. I don't know your experience, and I have never shared with you my salvation experience. And by the way, it don't take long. You see, I one day became aware that there was something wrong with my life. I wasn't an old dude. I think I was about 13 or 14. But there was something wrong with my life. There was a big old spot in me, empty as empty can get. And I tried everything in the world to fill it, and nothing would fill it, and nothing would take care of it. And I went to bed at night with that there, and then I woke up the next morning with that empty spot there. And then I went to a camp meeting. The guy was using the Word of God, and the Word of God said, God loved me so much, He gave His only Son, Jesus, for me, that all I'd have to do is believe in Him and I'd be saved. Now, He did not tell me that Jesus would fill that empty spot in my life. But somehow or another, in my inertness, I knew He would fill that empty spot in my life. And on Tuesday night of that camp meeting, second week, I went forward just about right there. Pastor had everybody's head down. And so I slipped up there. And Pastor Carl Bunch slid in beside of me. And he said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Pastor, I've got this empty spot in me. And I've tried everything in the world. I even quit telling dirty jokes. And that didn't help it any." He said, maybe you just need to ask Jesus to come into your life. You know what? Somewhere, somehow, the great revelator revealed to me that that empty spot looked just exactly shaped like Jesus. And He came in and filled my life full. Then I read in the Word of God later on, "I've come that you might have life. You might have it more meaningful and abundantly." You see, He said, "I will fill your life with joy and peace." You see, our trust in Him professed is our privilege. I want to move on now to another place. There's some more scriptures here, and I got some more verses. And you know, a profession of His ability, a profession of His holiness, a profession of His kindness. We can profess all of that and make it, and it is so. But let me move to Romans chapter 12, verse about 8. What saith it? The Word, remember? The Word is near you, even in your heart and in your mouth. That's the word of faith that we preach. If you will, listen, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, God's raised Him from the dead. Hear it positively, stated solidly, you shall be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The Scriptures say, and I believe the Scriptures, do you not believe it too? The Scripture says there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. That's you and me. You are Billy Graham, no difference. For the same Lord over all. We're talking about this great God of ours. Same Lord over all is rich. And that's the only way you can explain salvation, a rich, full, meaningful life. It's rich in all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Didn't say maybe, might be, could be, says, if you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Now, you know, from my perspective and from my knowledge of you, I would say that most of you are professed believers. But if there's one of you that is not, the Word of God says this also, behold. Now, that word behold is translated out of the King James into, hey, sit up and look. Sit up and listen. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time, for it's appointed unto man, women, boys, and girls. It's appointed unto man, wants to die. And after death comes the judgment of God. Righteous, inerrant, holy judgment of God. So, if you've never put your faith in Christ, I invite you to do that today. If you're here and you have done that, but you would have to confess that my life has not, now this is memorial, remember, and He's our great hero, and my life has not honored Him as my life should honor Him. And you need to come and just get on your Facebook, knees, stand, whatever you want to do. And before God, say, "Father, I today want to make a commitment of me to you, of me to Christ. I will live I will let him live his life in me. That's the way I'll live. I want to invite you to do that. Now, I have presented to you the Word of God. I am only responsible for that. I now, and I haven't done this before, but I want you to know this, the truth. I now place the responsibility to you. If you respond to it as the Holy Spirit of the living God wants you to respond to it, great, you're blessed. If you don't, you're judged. Would you stand? Alex is going to play an invitation, and turn it up just a little bit, Alex, the norm. He's going to play an invitation, and our invitation is for you.